the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is omnipotent. The word omnipotent means all-powerful. In Micah 3:8, it says, I'm full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. And then the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is present everywhere at the same time.
Everybody, it's great to be back here at the 7 p.m. Hello if you're joining online on Facebook or YouTube. Hello if you're listening in on Spotify or the podcast app afterwards, or you're illegally downloading this from LimeWire. It's great to be with you. Maybe if you're listening back on the podcast, maybe like just if you're like walking down the road, just like shout Metro, something like that. Just see if anyone else on the street's listening to the talk as well. So, you know, there you go. If you see someone walking down the street and go, Metro, you'll know why. But tonight we are starting a brand new series called Spirit-Filled, looking at, funnily enough, is it possible to be filled with the Spirit and not be weird? But there you go. But is it possible, who is the Holy Spirit, and can we be Spirit-filled without being weird? Now, because to be honest with you, if I hear about the idea of a Spirit-filled Christian, kind of makes me think of a middle-aged guy who wears like a rainbow vest and khaki shorts and like sandals and socks, but not in the cool way. Like, I know it's kind of ironically cool right now, but if they could do it like unironically and just not cool, and goes around like shouting the Holy Ghost at things and not really like explaining anything and like having, you know, claiming that everything is divine intervention. It's like, no, I just tripped over my shoelace. That was just, I didn't tie my shoelaces. Maybe that's what you think of someone who is a Spirit-filled Christian. And maybe because of that, it's not something we talk about a whole lot, but it's something the Bible talks about a whole lot. And I want to just have a quick read through a verse in the New Testament from the book of Romans. And before we read this, one thing I'm going to point out to you, okay? It's going to say that you've been adopted into sonship. Now, if you're a lady here, you might think, well, I don't really want to be a son. But in this context, you are a son, because in that time, in that day and age, it was only the sons, only the men that got the inheritance, got the, you know, the rewards of being part of that family. And so the women didn't get anything at all. So in this context, women, you're flipping adopted into sonship, okay? Okay, thank you. So in the book of Romans, it says this: for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So from that, the main thing we need to take away is that it's the Spirit's work in us that shows us we are God's children. And the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not some magic force that we summon. The Holy Spirit is a person. And the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person that we can know, that we can get to know. And for me, in a very different context, I've been trying to get to know someone recently. So at my work, we've been hiring for a new role. So someone sent me through a bunch of CVs, said, hey, can you look through these? Tell me what you think, who you think we should, you know, bring in, whatever. So I looked through, and this is a slight aside first, because I found it really entertaining. But, you know, sometimes on a CV, you'll have at the bottom, like, you know, like your interests, you know, like interests like cycling, jogging, attending Metro, things like that. But this one person, and I'm assuming they'd accidentally cut off the end of one of the words, because they'd put in their interests like Italian film, cycling, reading, box. And just that was it, just box. What are your interests with box? Just box. I love box. I like to box. I like to be in boxes, you know. But we can't take any applications from cats, so unfortunately that one didn't get very far. But one of the applications that was a bit more successful, I read through it and I thought, okay, what this person has said about themselves looks pretty great. You know, they seem like they'd be a really good fit. So I can read all about this person that we're going to get in for the role. But then what would be maybe a bit better on again is if I could speak to someone who already knew that person, who'd had an experience of that person. So one of my colleagues actually had actually interviewed this person for a different role that she was great, but she wasn't quite right for. And so she said, you know, this person is amazing. Oh, we should really get her in. She wasn't quite right for that role, but for this role, she'd be so good. And she had these kind of testimonies of, reasons why from her experience she could say, this is someone worth getting to know. But ultimately, kind of those two are secondary and tertiary to me actually getting to know the person myself, having a relationship with that person. And sometimes it'll be that you kind of bypass the first two. You know, you don't have to have read about or heard stories about someone to get to know them. Sometimes there's an encounter. You just might just bump into someone, meet them fresh. And if you'll excuse the slightly clumsy analogy, I think it's a fair bit like that with the Holy Spirit sometimes, that we can read all about the Holy Spirit. We can hear from other people, from their stories, their testimonies, things that have happened in their life through the work of the Holy Spirit. And also we can get to know the Holy Spirit for ourselves. We can experience and encounter the Holy Spirit in us, the person of God who is the personal presence of God in us, with us all the time. So I want to start with that by kind of thinking, okay, well, what can we read about the Holy Spirit? What has the Holy Spirit said about himself that we can learn from? And fortunately, I don't know if you know this, God's got a book out. It's quite good. It's called The Bible. You can get it from pretty much every bookshop on planet Earth. And if you're in a hotel as well, open up the drawer. There's a copy in there. So it's a good read. But in the Bible, you won't be surprised to learn that the Holy Spirit is pretty much everywhere. The Holy Spirit is involved from the very first page to the very last page. And helpfully, in the very first sentence of the very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible, which is called In the Beginning, it says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, just one thing to point out there. If you're around at the beginning of creation with God before anything's been created, probably means you're God. So the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, you know, the three parts of who God is, God in as the Father, God as Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God's personal presence with each one of us that reminds us, that tells us that we are children of God. Now the word that they're using in the Old Testament there for the Spirit is Ruach. Can I get a Ruach?
Ruach.
At home, drop that in the comments. It's spelled R-U-A-C-H. R-U-A-C-H, Ruach. And literally translated, it means breath, but it's a little bit more than that. It's not just kind of, it's not like a tepid kind of anything like that. Nothing like that. When it talks about breath, it's life-giving. It's the kind of the source behind the creation of the universe. It's the energy, the power that kicked everything off into gear, that sparked everything. It's the very breath within your lungs, sustaining you this very moment, that's keeping all the planets spinning around the sun. It's the energy that sustains us all. And as I said, there's examples of that all the way through the Bible. So just to give one example, in the Old Testament, you've got this guy, Joseph, who, to give the very TLDR, too long didn't read version, you know, ends up in a spot of bother. He gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and he gets given this gift of interpreting dreams, and then ends up as the Prime Minister of Egypt. So we're going to be praying tonight that some of us get filled with the Holy Spirit, and hopefully we might have a few future Prime Minister of Egypt here. You never know. Could be you. Could be the next one. And we also see in the Old Testament people being filled with the Spirit and being given amazing creative gifts, artistic gifts. Fast forward to the New Testament, and Jesus comes onto the scene, and when he's baptized, and by the way, we're going to be looking at baptism later on in this series, it says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, this is in Matthew's Gospel, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my son, with whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And it's from that place Jesus gets filled with the Spirit. And he goes out and performs all sorts of incredible miracles, forgives people's sins, heals blind people, sets people free of all sorts of struggles that they're going through. There's miraculous stuff that comes from that. Later, you may well know, Jesus is crucified. And when he's on the cross, when he's given up his breath, they put a spear into his side. And what comes out is blood and water separately. Now, the blood there is symbolizing the forgiveness of our sins. And the water symbolizes the Holy Spirit being given to us. And so later on, Jesus is resurrected, good news. And he speaks to his disciples. And when he speaks to them, he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And the word that he uses there in the Greek is pneuma or pneuma, which is again that same thing, that breath, that life-giving energy source behind the universe that's keeping everything ticking. He gives them that breath, he breathes on them. And it's from there that they then go out, they perform all sorts of miracles and kind of start the church, which is kind of a big deal. You're going to need to be filled with the Spirit to do that. And nowadays, you know, there's kind of 100-odd of them back then. Now there's literally billions of us. So God's Spirit did incredible things through them when they were filled with the Spirit. So that's just a really short overview of kind of just some of the times that we see the Holy Spirit across the Bible. A lot of that, I'm going to be honest, I've plagiarized from the Bible Project on YouTube. They have a fantastic video called The Holy Spirit by the Bible Project. Do check that out. If there's anything that came up there you think, oh, I've not heard about that before, do check it out. As I said, just an overview here, so not going to be able to go into tons of detail. But that's just some of the things that we can read about the Holy Spirit from the Bible, the things that we learn about him. But also it can be helpful to hear from others, to hear testimonies, stories, people's experiences of the Holy Spirit. And I can't see anyone else on this stage, so I assume it's going to be me telling you about my stories. And to be honest, experiences of the Holy Spirit can be really different. Some of them are very kind of upfront, very obviously supernatural, kind of unexplainable in a natural way. Things like, we'll sometimes talk about in church, gifts of the Holy Spirit. Things like seeing healing, speaking in tongues. And again, we're going to be looking at those issues, those subjects later on in this series. So if I kind of brush on any of that and you think, oh, don't know about that, hold on, stay with us. We'll be getting to that later. But a lot of the experiences I've had of the Holy Spirit have actually been a lot more kind of on the inside and kind of not so obvious sometimes, and have kind of happened over a longer period of time. So for me, one of the best examples of that, I think, is when I was in the third year of my university degree, my undergrad. I was studying religion and theology at UOB. And I was doing this dissertation on parts of the New Testament. And to be honest with you, I got to this stage where I just thought, I can't believe this anymore. A lot of what the New Testament was saying about Jesus and the claims of who he was, I got to this stage where I just thought, I don't believe that this is true anymore. I can't get my mind to reconcile what I'm reading with what the reality supposedly is. And I realized, I was like, you know, I know that I've lost something within me as well. As much as I knew that there was something I didn't believe, something tangible was different in my life, and it felt like I'd lost something. And I just knew I needed that back. So the place I started was, look, I can definitely believe that there's something behind the creation of the universe. Some sort of breath that sparked it all off. Some sort of life-giving source behind the universe. Now, I couldn't say, yeah, that's definitely a deity or a being or is someone that I could get to know. But it was something, you know, it could have been a sponge for all I knew. But I could accept there was something there. So from there, I kind of thought, well, right, other religions. And obviously, I was doing a degree in religion and theology, so I kind of knew a fair bit about other religions. But every time I'd looked into other religions, I kind of felt like a lot of this depends on me being good, on doing the right things. And I just kind of like, I don't know about you, but it was just like, if I try my whole life to get everything right, I'm not going to get anywhere. And so I went to the Old Testament. And what I thought was great about the Old Testament was, at first I thought, this is kind of even more weird than the New Testament at times, but what I love about it is it's the story of people over thousands of years going through so many of the same struggles and doubts and trying times that I was going through. It was the same story of people kind of wrestling with God, asking big questions, and coming away with their faith still intact. So I thought, okay, this I can get on board with. And then I thought, okay, I can start to look at a bit of the teachings of Jesus, because, you know, even if he wasn't who he says he was, you know, I can accept that loads of what he was saying is just objectively good, no matter who you are. And what I found was that as I read those teachings, as I read what Jesus said and who he said he was, that I felt closer to that source, whatever it was, whoever it was, I just felt like I was more connected to that, and it was a tangible thing for me. And now I can look back and see what was happening was that the Holy Spirit was breathing into me as I was reading those scriptures. The Holy Spirit was working in me, and I was being reminded through that source, through the Holy Spirit, through the Ruach of God, that I was a child of God, that I belonged to him. And sometimes when we have experiences of the Holy Spirit like that, other people will notice it about us. So I remember a couple of years ago at my place of work, one of my colleagues said, "Oh, I really notice it when neither you or, I'll change the name of this colleague, or Ian are in the office. Because you're both really similar, aren't you?" I said, and I was a bit confused because you don't know Ian. For all you know, he's made up. He's not, he's just changed his name. But Ian and I are very different people. Ian and I are not really similar at all. We're very different people. So I kind of think, well, what do you mean? What are you talking about there? And she said, well, when you're in the office, there's a peace that just comes into the room and you're just so peaceful. Now, if you know me, Matthew Levy Miles, you might not associate the word peaceful with me. Erratic, all over the place, mind of a butterfly, are things that maybe, you know, you would think about me. My fiance is there chuckling away in the front row. But then I realized it was because Ian, this other person, was the other Christian in the office. And there was something about the work of the Holy Spirit in us, reminding us that we were children of God, that we were adopted into sonship, getting the full inheritance from God, that just was noticeable to people, that there was a peace that came out of that. And sometimes as well, I've had experiences of the Holy Spirit that are outright supernatural, that are harder to explain, that might seem, to be honest with you, a little bit weird if you're kind of coming from outside Christianity. So I remember once I was at a church and there's a ministry time at the end, so we were kind of praying for each other. And I was just kind of there, just stood, chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool. And someone just was laying a hand on my arm, just really gently, just praying for me. It wasn't a very intense environment. There was no like intense music or anything. You know, it was pretty chill. And all of a sudden I started feeling like in my gut, like this wrenching. And it was like a physical thing that I could feel, but also, and this is kind of almost feels weird explaining it to you, also I knew it wasn't happening physically in my body. It wasn't something was wrong with my stomach or my muscles, or it wasn't cramp or anything like that. It was something from a spiritual realm, as much as that might sound weird to some of us. And I was kind of like, right, this is weird, what's going on here? And I was kind of like, well, I'm not showing anyone. So I was just still stood there, totally normal. And then this lady who was helping to lead this prayer time, who's probably one of the people I've met who kind of most, I think, understands what it is to be filled with the Spirit, comes charging across the room, just runs at me, puts her hand on my stomach, says, "Release." And then all of a sudden, the pain just went away from my stomach. And I was like, what the chuff is going on here? Like, what's going on? And so afterwards, I go up to her and I'm like, what do I do now then? What's the thing? Is this like in the Old Testament where Samuel's like, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Like, this is the big moment. Like, God's going to reveal some superpower to me. Like, Matt, now you can fly. Go, fly across the nations and tell the world the good news." But then she was like, "Yeah, I don't know, really. Holy Spirit does weird stuff sometimes. Just ignore it. Get on with your day." And you're like, "Oh, that's a bit disappointing." So just to recap, no superpowers. And other stuff. I've had times where I feel like I've been given gifts of the Holy Spirit, like I kind of touched on earlier. And one of those is the gift of tongues. And to be really honest with you, for a lot of my life, it's one I've had real skepticism about. I've kind of struggled with, you know, hearing people in churches praying in tongues and thinking, right, well, you're just talking a load of gibberish, and it's always the same gibberish every time that you pray in tongues. So how does that even work? Are you just making this up? This can't be God. But it got to a stage where I thought, right, I'm just going to try this for myself. One day, I was in the prayer room at Woodlands Church, our kind of mothership church, just up the hill, and we were having a 24/7 prayer week. So basically just having someone in this room at all times over a week, and just praying for issues in our church, in the city, and globally as well. And so I had my hour slot, and I was just kind of sat there, to be honest with you, a little bit bored, kind of think, right, I pray for all the children, Lord, and the hungry people, and my friends. How are you, Lord? And it got to this point where I was like, okay, right, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just try this speaking in tongues thing. And Lord, I don't know how to do it, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk nonsense for a bit. And if that's pleasing to you, if you like that, and if you, I hope, Lord, that you'll enjoy, you'll see it as my worship, that I'm just going to talk nonsense, and I'm happy to be foolish for you. And this is just me, Lord, if nothing else, trying to show you that I'll do whatever you say. And so I do. I literally just like, gliffy, 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 bruff, bruff, bruff. Literally talking nonsense. But after a while, I just sense something in the atmosphere change. And again, it's one of these things, I can't really explain it properly to you. Can't really put it into words. But it just, you know, something in the room changed. And like I said, I was in this little room by myself. There was no emotional music, no big preacher to hype me up, no big crowd. And like I said, I was feeling a little bit disengaged before that. But something happened. And I realized that the words that were coming out of my mouth weren't words that I was kind of making up myself, that it was coming from somewhere else. And it wasn't that my mouth was kind of automatically taken over like a robot or anything like that, but just something was happening that by the work of the Holy Spirit, I was being filled, and I was speaking words from, you know, some people will call it a heavenly language, a language that I didn't even understand. So we have these experiences that look like all sorts of different things. And those are some of my experiences. But you might hear that and think, whether you're a Christian or not, well, how do I experience something of the Holy Spirit in any of those ways? What's next? Well, you can get to know the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to give us some space to do this evening. And I want to, just to give us some context for how we do that, I want to go back to that verse that we were on at the beginning. So Romans says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. The Holy Spirit in us reminds us, tells us that we are children of God. And people will talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit. People say, have you had the second baptism or the third baptism or the 19th baptism? Or have you been, and I'm not going to get into the depths of what does it really mean to be baptized in the Spirit. But what I will tell you is, if you are here tonight and you have a relationship with Jesus, then the power of the Holy Spirit and relationship with him is available to you through the redeeming work of Jesus on the cross. So when we say that we are in desperate need of Jesus, we say we're sorry for the things we've done wrong and that we need Jesus and that we believe in him. That opens the way. As that blood and water came out of Jesus' side, it opens the way for us to have a relationship with God's personal presence in our lives. So this is the big idea. The Holy Spirit is God. He's God's personal presence with us. Being filled with the Spirit shows us that we are children of God. Amazing. So what I'm going to do in a few minutes is just ask the Holy Spirit to meet with us. And we're not going to hype it up. We're not going to have any emotional music. As one wise man once said, you don't need to hype the Holy Spirit up because he comes down. And there are ways that I'll talk us through it, and you don't have to do anything that you don't feel comfortable with. But I'm going to be honest with you guys. We're going to do it in a pretty normal way. So I'm going to ask us all to stand up in a few minutes. I'll just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, would you move in us? Would you give us that ruach, that breath? And we're going to wait. And probably what's going to happen, right, is there's going to be this thing where it's just a little bit awkward. And everyone's just stood around there like, cool, what's happening? But that's fine. Because we're happy to be normal about this. And if we believe, as I do, that the Holy Spirit is who he says he is, and that he meets with people and works in people in the way he says he does, then I know that the Holy Spirit is going to be meeting with us tonight. And that might be in big, crazy, supernatural ways. That might be in a little voice in the heart, a little bit of comfort where maybe you're feeling anxious about something. But I know that the Holy Spirit wants to meet with us. So there are practical ways that kind of help us to make that easier, help us to focus, right? So like I said, we're going to be super normal about it. We're not going to hype it up. But to go back to my kind of CV illustration from earlier, if I wanted to get to know someone in a conversation, there are certain things that are helpful to do, others that aren't. So let's say I've never met Emily Toogood, who was leading our worship before. Let's say that. And I said, hey, Emily, tell me about yourself. If I then proceeded to kind of turn around and look at my phone, or just start chatting with someone else, or just idly stare around the room, apologies if I've done that to you, then that's probably not going to help me. You know, it's not that it's impossible at all. Emily's still going to be talking to me, but it's just that I may be not giving as much attention as maybe maybe helpful. Now, obviously, with the Spirit of God is invisible. So kind of in some ways, the opposite is true. It might be helpful for us to close our eyes sometimes, just so that the visible doesn't distract us from the invisible. It's nothing magic about closing your eyes. It's just about helping us focus on that that listening and waiting on God. Equally, sometimes it could be helpful to physically posture ourselves. So for me, I find it helpful sometimes if someone's praying for me, if we're waiting for God, just to put my hands out in a receiving position, kind of like this. Just almost just as a reminder to myself personally that that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm doing. We're waiting on God and going to see what he does. So as I said, in a minute we'll stand, we'll wait, and it might be that God starts moving in people in a certain way, and if he does, we might kind of say, yeah, we'll pray for you, we want to see more of that. It might be that people on the team or whoever have words, they feel like God is saying those specific things, that God's saying, actually, I really want to bless people who are struggling with this or that, or speak into certain situations. I don't know, because I'm not the Holy Spirit, but I do know him. And I want us to give some time for us all to get to know him. So, would you stand with me? And if the band could just come up just to get ready. We won't have any music or anything yet. Like I said, we're going to keep it nice and relaxed. But just so we're ready to go when the time comes. So I'm just going to say a really quick prayer. And I just encourage you, do just try and focus in. You don't have to kind of strive and be like, Holy Spirit, I want to meet with you. You can just relax into it. Do you know, like I said, like if I was like trying to get to know Emily and I was like, I'm listening so much. Talk to me, Emily. Like, it's not necessarily really going to help. You can just relax into his presence. As you said, the Holy Spirit reminds us that we are children of God. You don't have to strive in this. So I'm just going to go for it now. Let's pray and let's wait. If you're not a Christian here today, by the way, and you're kind of feeling like, oh, this isn't for me, don't worry. Just join in at whatever level you feel comfortable. There's no pressure on you whatsoever. If you want to sit down or anything, go for it. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you remind us that we are children of God and that through the redeeming work of Jesus on the cross, we can come into relationship with the Father. And that your Spirit is given to us to empower us, your personal presence. We ask, Holy Spirit, that we would get to know you right now, that you would be breathing by your ruach onto us tonight. Where there is fear and anxiety, would you bring peace? Where there is physical injury and pain, would you bring healing? Where there is kind of discomfort, would you be speaking words of truth? So, Holy Spirit, we wait for you to come.